Nicodema, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down.
Am I right that this mic here is not working correctly? Okay. Right, well, I'm going to put it over here so that it can get fixed. But you can hear me because I've got this one. So I would like to welcome all of you here today for this celebration of the life of Mary Elizabeth, and particularly welcome all of her family. It's good to have you here today. In 2007, I had the opportunity to go to Dar es Salaam to report on a meeting of the archbishops of the Anglican Communion. But our dog, Alice, had lived for several months with a debilitating illness. And my spouse was afraid that if I left, our dog Alice would die. Sure enough, as soon as I had my bags packed and was out the door, and before really I was even in New York, Alice turned her head to the wall and refused to eat. We knew that we had to euthanize her, but by that time I was in Africa. So we called a friend to be with Jill and with Alice when the vet came. And that friend was Mary Elizabeth. Because Mary Elizabeth was someone you wanted to have with you when your sweetheart was continents away and your beloved dog was dying. Mary Elizabeth had an ability to be with people just where they were without expecting them to be anything else but who they were. She had a tremendous ability to love both people and critters. In recent years, many of us have been planting milkweed and eagerly watching monarch butterflies grow from egg to caterpillar to cocoon and hopefully to beautiful butterfly. Mary Elizabeth took this task on in a typically determined and grand way. She read up everything there was to read about monarch butterflies and discovered all the perils that await young monarchs from birds, bugs, and parasites. So Mary Elizabeth turned her home into a mini monarch nursery. Monarchs in their various stages of development lived in different boxes and containers all across her dining room table. In the wild, only about 1 or 2% of monarch eggs become butterflies. Mary Elizabeth beat those odds. She watched over her monarchs until they were ready to go out into the world on their own. And she even had a convalescent facility for those whose wings had failed to develop fully. In fact, her last announcement from this lectern was a request for donations of milkweed to feed her last butterflies. Mary Elizabeth believed in beating the odds. As we have heard, we will hear soon, when she took over the Santa Maria Urban Ministry in San Jose, it had just moved to a new location, but it was little more than a place for people to give out handouts of food and clothing. Mary Elizabeth saw the possibilities in the lives of those who came and turned the mission into a place where those who served might also serve. A place where young children can get a head start in life and where Spanish speakers can learn English and the cultural skills they need to flourish in this society. When she came here to St. Benedict's as our second rector, this building was not here. We were meeting in the community center, and we were in disarray. In fact, we were at each other's throats. But Mary Elizabeth believed in the possibility of healing. She promised to love us, and love us she did, with great determination. And against great odds, we, like the monarchs, flourished and grew. Bringing this building from Camp Roberts was a bold move. It was also an expensive one. And for a while, it didn't look as though St. Benedict's would survive the financial strain. But Mary Elizabeth did not give up. Even when the diocese declared that St. Benedict's was unsustainable and should close, she prayed and looked for a way forward. She did not give up. Mary Elizabeth simply did not give up. In 2005, she decided that it would be best for her and for the congregation for her to take early disability retirement. But she continued to be fully involved in the life of the church, especially bringing us together through community and social activities, games nights, movie nights, and lunches together. As the decades of living with rheumatoid arthritis began to take a serious toll on her body, Mary Elizabeth kept going through every setback with determination and cheerfulness. She regularly shared her understandings of the God who walks beside us in our difficulties. She shared those understandings with members of the healing ministry team and with all of us in her sermons and in her personal conversations. She talked of God as both our companion on the journey and our journey's end. She became for us a symbol of perseverance and inspiration. As JW, who lives with chronic pain, says, I'd look at her and think, if she can do it, I can. In her final sermon, Mary Elizabeth talked about process theology and said, rather than God deciding our fate, God is constantly, continuously interacting with each of us to offer us options that would help us fulfill our potential, that would be life-giving, not just for ourselves, but for all. And when God has offered you the options for your life, depending on what you decide, you either expand those possibilities or you limit them further, because God doesn't go against our free will. God takes that into consideration, and God is changed by us, by each of us and our decisions. Mary Elizabeth was a woman who changed God, and she changed us. Her legacy lives in us. Mary Elizabeth made choices that were life-giving, even as her choices became constrained by her physical frame. She chose, in the words of Isaiah that we heard earlier, a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. And I think, again quoting that passage of Isaiah, that we may truly call her an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. Today we have gathered both to honor Mary Elizabeth's memory and to give her to God. For many years we have cared for her, even as she has cared for us. For her beloved husband John, her children Matthew and Laura, and her sister Margaret, this caring has been intense at times. Today we turn that caring over to God. It is time to put Mary Elizabeth where she already is and always has been, firmly in the care of God, the Eternal One, her companion on the journey and her journey's end. We put her today into God's care, knowing that death is not the end, but that she will rise again. Today, and whenever we gather together around the table in the Eucharist, we know that we are worshiping with the angels and with the communion of saints, those who have gone before us. As we share the bread and wine, symbols of the deep mysteries of our faith, we can be sure that Mary Elizabeth is especially present here with us, as are all the saints of this congregation and beyond. And so today, as we share our memories and stories, we are starting the process of remembering, of putting back together Mary Elizabeth in our hearts, where she will live into eternity.